Hi, Jeremy in Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash, donate, fundage. You know what to do. Make that boomer checkbook out to RBN and mail it in to the network because we need you more than ever. Still a little bit behind trying to get through the month of May. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit card number to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. I'm a young Gen Xer, and I still use a checkbook, so just saying. This is your Wednesday night spiritual health and wellness broadcast. For those of you newbies out there, this is the night that I take a break from fake and gay politics. And we talk about the Bible because I'm a Christian. And I want to do one night where I share my faith with you and, more importantly, what the Word of God has to say. Usually, I play a sermon clip. And we've been playing a lot of Steven Anderson. Hope you're not getting sick of that. I agree with Steven Anderson on like 90% of his doctrine. There's just a few things here and there. He speaks out against the Jews and denies the Holocaust, so we check that box. But he's not very solid on ethnicity, or you might say the racial question, as you white nationalists might say. Anderson just believes there's no difference in race and it's all good. And he misquotes Galatians 3. Ironically, Anderson has fathered 12 children with a German woman. So for someone who claims that he doesn't care about white displacement, he's sure doing a lot to combat it. Just saying. That having been said, I play him a lot because I can't hardly stomach the other preachers. There's only a few that I'll listen to. But once again, we're taking a break from that tonight. And I want to get into aliens. More importantly, what the Bible says about aliens. I think it'll be an important discussion. And of course, we'll open up the phones for you guys to weigh in. Before I do that, I just got news like this week that my uncle and my cousin died. Now, I was kind of close to both of them. Now, the uncle was 83, and it was kind of, we saw it coming. He was in the nursing home, then the hospital. But my cousin was only about 10 years older than me. He was 57. And, he had some health problems. No, they didn't take the death jab. My cousin had diabetes, and my uncle was just old and in horrible shape. But it just reminds me that we're here temporarily. Hebrews 9:27 says in the Bible says that it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. This body is temporary and your soul is eternal. And when you leave this world, you'll meet your maker and he'll be the judge of your life. Do you want to pay for your own sins eternally? Or do you want to accept the free gift of Jesus Christ that he died on the cross and rose again? John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm all about fighting on this earth, fighting the good fight. As a Christian, we have to do that. There are some great Christians that fought the Crusades, am I right? And pushed the dirty, disgusting brown Muslims out of Europe and saved our white boys and young ladies from being slaves. There's a time to pick up the sword and split some heads, damn it. But we can fight, and we can fight for our families and for the things in this life, and we're called to do that. The Lord Jesus said, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy a sword. He told that to his disciples when he went to the cross because he knew hard times were coming. So there's a time to fight and to stand up for the things of this world. But there's also a time to understand that this life is temporary. And your body's temporary. And even if you live a life of excellent health, you're probably not going to make it past 100. only some really wealthy Jews that are probably, you know, down in some adrenochrome, like Kirk Douglas and some of the other ones. What's the dude, Kissinger? I mean, that guy's like the Emperor Palpatine, am I right? He probably does like blue lightning out of his fingers. You know, some of these people live to be 100, but that's about all you're going to get. That's a vapor. It's a blink of an eye compared to eternity. So, yes, fight for things in this life. Fight for your family and your land. Stand up for your people. But understand that this life will be over, especially if you're fighting. I mean, you can get a bullet through the head, right? It could be over, like, pretty quick. Know where your soul is going. Know what the Bible says. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I just wanted to give that little speech, you know, in light of my two family members dying this week. And, you know, my uncle was particularly close to me. He taught me how to paint. He had a lot of flaws, but he was a caring person, and he related well to youth. I was 13. He had to be like 54 when he took me under his wing, and he taught me how to paint houses. And that's a skill, let me tell you, painting houses, that's a skill that will always help you out. You can always fall back on it. You can literally drop me in the middle of any city or town in America. And by the end of the day, you can drop me in any town or city with just the shirt on my back. Okay, I'm wearing pants too. But you know the saying, you know what the figure of speech is. And by the end of the day, I'll have a job. I'll have money in my pocket, food in my belly, and a place to stay. Why? Because I have a skill. I have a skill that's very low overhead. I don't have to go get like $10,000 worth of equipment to make money. I can spend 20 bucks at Lowe's and get a roller and a paintbrush. Or better yet, I can convince the customer to buy it for me. And I can say something like, hey, I'll paint your room out for free, you know, at first. I'm not going to, you know, it's not going to cost you at first, but if you like it, you can pay me $300 and we'll go from there. I can be dropped in any town or city and just start working and making money and making contacts. And because I was taught that skill, painting is a low overhead, decent money skill where once you get recognized and get the right customers, and you can make 35, 40 bucks an hour, no probs. My uncle taught me that skill, and, you know, he took me under his wing. And when I was 13, man, I was just a stupid kid that was listening to 80s rock, and I didn't care about anything. I was just going as I was bored. And he probably spent 3 months and lost money on me, teaching me how to paint and how to roll walls. He was very patient because he knew that one day it would click and I would start rolling and painting like a champ, like a boss. And then I would start actually making him money. So looking back in retrospect, I probably made him more money than I ever lost him. But the point remains is that he took the chance on me and took those 3 months and taught a kid how to work. And I'll never forget that. So rest in peace, Morse Hunt Matting. I hope that you're in the arms of Jesus. Let's get on to the other content because I've shared probably too much of my personal life with you. In the prep, we're doing the UFO thing now. All right. So we did the COVID thing. That was a lot of fun. You guys remember shutting down. You can't get haircuts. You can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church. You can go to certain, you can't go to any restaurants. It's all takeout. That was fun. That was a nice little psyop, wasn't it? Mass formation psychosis 101. Then what did we do? We did the BLM psyop. That as well was just so much fun. Watching George Floyd die on the pavement. Did he die? Was it George Floyd? Was it a psych? Was it a fake? What? Huh? Anyway, watching George Floyd die of a fentanyl and an overdose. as some skinny white guy with pencil arms, like, put his knee on his head, had this bewildered deer in the headlights look on his face when the camera took a shot of him. And then all of the Negroes and white trash and white college women, probably more white college women than anybody, quite honestly. You know, the blue-haired, tatted-up bitches with the showing their camel toes through the leggings. Ladies, leggings are not outerwear. Just please. And if you're going to wear leggings as outerwear, please don't weigh 300 pounds. Anyway, then we went through that psyop of all of these protests in 2020 and BLM and Antifa burning down cities and Kyle Rittenhouse getting arrested for shooting Jewish pedophiles. I mean, it was just crazy, was it not? Trump demanding military assistance to guard the White House and being denied. That was all crazy times. That was a great psyop. Oh, but it got better, didn't it? We had the election hoax of 2020. And just when we thought they couldn't top it, we're like, okay, Jewish dominated elites, there's no way you can top COVID hoax, BLM hoax, and election hoax. There's no way you can do that. And the Jewish elites said, hold my beer. And we got the Russia-Ukraine hoax. Yeah, I believe it's a real war. Yes, I believe Putin's fighting. Yes, yes. But there's just so much about it that's hoaxable. And it's lasted so long. And the way they're plastering it on the media, I'm sure something real is going on. And Putin's fighting the good fight. Yes, David Scorpio, I refuse to take down my poster of shirtless Putin with a sword riding a white horse into victory. That's going to stay on the wall, guy. Deal with it. But there's a lot about it that's hoaxable. There's a lot of media spin on it. I'm just going to call the overall thing the U.S., a Ukraine-Russia hoax by the U.S. media, by the Jewish-dominated media. And then now we have the brown white supremacist hoax, sort of similar to Dave Chappelle's black white supremacist skit. Yeah, it's brown people doing white supremacism. Again, another thing that just makes you sit back and say, wow, am I even living in reality here? What is this? So we've had so many hoaxes, and now I think they're going to go with the alien hoax. I mean, they've been teasing this thing for a while. They've been doing alien hoax foreplay, and I think they're ready to consummate the deal on us. I think they're ready to penetrate and break the hymen. Stanford proof professor Gary Nolan says that aliens are 100% living among us. This is from the New York Post. And this article is going to get us into our biblical study of the Bible's view of aliens. I know you're on the edge of your seats, are you not? So pour a stiff drink and let's get into this. A Stanford University professor and prominent UFOologist. How does one become a UFOologist? I guess that's a course. Excuse me, I would like to major in UFOlogy. Your grandparents have you over for dinner, and they're like, yo, Johnny, like, what's your major in college? And you're like, oh, grandma, it's UFOologist. And then bewildered look hits the boomer's face. But I guess that's a thing, because this Stanford University professor is a UFOologist. He specializes in UFOs. He says that he's 100%, and he believes that extraterrestrials have not only visited Earth, but have been here for a long time, and may still even be on the planet today. Whoa, hello Smallville, Clark Kent, Kal-El, ring any bells? Little series about 20 years ago. I like Smallville. I thought it was a great show. All the actors were good. And the kid that played Clark Kent was like the best Superman, of course, under Christopher Reeves. I mean, Christopher Reeves is always going to be the best Superman. Am I right, Gen Xers? But Smallville was great. It was about, you know, the Kryptonians living among the humans, and they look like them, but they have powers that they conceal. And that's what this dude is slinging here. Dr. Gary Nolan, a professor of pathology at Stanford's medical school. Oh, okay. He's a professor of pathology, but he moonlights as a ufologist. There we go. He made this stunning claim during last week's salt eye connections. I don't know what that is, and I don't want to look it up. You guys can. A salt eye connection conference in Manhattan in the session entitled The Pentagon, Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and Crashed UFOs. I'm not going to read this thing verbatim for you. You get in the gist that people in the Pentagon, professors, Tucker Carlson, they're all coming out with this UFO stuff. And that leads me to believe that there's a UFO hoax on the horizon. So there may actually be listeners in the RBN audience that think that there's intelligent life out there. And I'm not throwing you under the bus, really. What I am saying is that these elites, these professors, media heads like Carlson, the Jewish-dominated elite, they're just looking for any chance to hoax us again. So I don't believe in Hollywood aliens, okay? I'm going to share with you what I believe after the break, according to the Bible, right? Spoiler alert, people see angels and created beings of God, and that's what they're calling aliens, okay? But let's just pretend that there were actually aliens. All right, let's just say that was a thing. The Jewish dominated elite are going to use this to hoax you into some sort of moving from point A to point B, or to get some result out of you, or to condition you or control you. All right, that's what it is. And if there are like Hollywood aliens living here, I mean, these things have some kind of technology that's beyond anything that anybody could fathom, because they've traversed light years, which is only possible in Star Trek and Star Wars. In other words, it's not possible. So, no, I don't think that there's aliens. There's not Hollywood tier aliens, and there's no beings that have traversed space and time like they're wanting you to believe. What do I believe? Share that with you on the other side of the break. You wonder how you keep going. Think of all the things that really matter and the chances you earn.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Inside, Jeremy from Kentucky, from Republic Broadcasting Network, Spiritual Health and Wellness Edition, and we're dealing with UFOs, and so I'm going to give you this biblical view. By the way, the phone lines are open, 512-248-8252, if you want to weigh in on this, but let's start with Ephesians 6, all right? Ephesians 6, and we're going to scroll down here. In verse 10, the Apostle Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, all right? And the synagogue of Satan is definitely throwing darts at us. So we have to gird ourselves with the whole armor of God, the word of God being the sword, the most important thing that you attack with. It's a means of defense and attack. That's what's awesome about a sword. So, with that in mind, he goes down to, where are we at here? The devil, okay, so here we go, verse 12, Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So there definitely is a physical battle going on, but there's a spiritual battle that precedes that. The spiritual always precedes the physical. And what Paul is saying is that there are wickedness in heavenly places. There are powers and principalities, rulers of darkness. So these things are in the heavenly places. So the Bible defines the heavens. You know, if you go back to Genesis, he said he made the earth in 6 days, and that the birds fly in the firmament of the heavens. So one heaven is the atmosphere of the earth. And then he talks about the sun and the moon and the stars in the firmament of the heavens. So the second heaven is space. And then Paul talks about a third heaven that he was caught up to. This is the heaven where God dwells. This is the heaven where Paul saw things that he could not even report on. So, by the way, I don't believe in these people that say they saw heaven, they describe it. If the Apostle Paul is not going to reveal it, then some stupid six-year-old kid's not either. Sorry, also I'm not sorry. But the point that I want to bring out here is that these powers and principalities and rulers of darkness, they live in the heavens. So this would be outer space. Why is the universe so vast? What's the purpose of it? It is for these creatures to reside in. And that's going to get us into a study of supernatural creatures. These things that God has created, they are all under his power and under his control and under his direction. Whether they're holy or whether they're fallen, they still are under God's power. This is proof in Job chapters 1 and 2. I'm not going to read it to you, but you can reference it and read it in your own time. The sons of God presented themselves before the Lord. Now, these are the angels, the Old Testament sons of God. And the Hebrew refers to these created beings. And it says that Satan also presented himself before the Lord. And so the Lord and Satan had this conversation about Job. And the Lord pointed out how Job is a righteous man and eschews evil. And Satan put out a challenge and said, if you take everything that he has, he'll curse you to your face. So the Lord gave Satan permission to take everything that Job had, but don't touch his body. And then when you go to chapter 2, of course, Job loses everything. He does not curse the Lord. As a matter of fact, his attitude is, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Job understood very clearly that everything he had was the Lord's, and the Lord could take it when he wanted to. So Satan said, let me touch his body and he'll curse you. So the Lord gave Satan power over Job's body, but just don't take his life. This is an absolutely fascinating passage of scripture. And the point that I want to bring out is that there are these supernatural beings that seek to harm you. And the only way that they can mess with you is if God allows them and he gives them boundaries and where to stop. This is not some struggle of good and evil as far as God's concerned. Now, you and I, we struggle against evil. I mean, the Ephesians reference just said it. We wrestle against powers and principalities. All right? But God does not wrestle against these things. They are under his power and under his control. He can snuff them out at will. And he allows them to test us at his whim. And if you got a problem with that, you got a problem with God's Bible. Coming up on the break, back on the inside.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Health and wellness on Endpoint Side. So we were talking about how the Lord allowed Satan to test Job. These creatures, this spiritual wickedness, these powers and principalities that dwell in space, they are under the power of the Lord God. So unlike Jewish Hollywood, there's not some race of beings out there that are outside of God's control, that can invade Earth, and it's all a surprise. These things are all under God's control. So just to make clear my status, my view on UFOs, extraterrestrials, I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm saying, is that created beings of God, angels, cherubim, and seraphim, they occupy space and they interact with mankind. And it's very possible that some of them could be living among us. The book of Hebrews says that be careful when you entertain strangers, because some of you have entertained angels and you were unaware of it. A little bit of a paraphrase. But it says that. And so people like Carlson and the Ancient Aliens crowd, you know, crazy hair guy, George C. Giannopoulos or whatever, these guys say, well, people that wrote the Bible observed aliens and they wrote angels to explain aliens. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that angelic beings and different created beings of God have interacted with man, and that that's in the Bible, and that that's what aliens are, and that's what people see. And in the 20th century, starting in the 20th century, when people started to describe alien encounters, a lot of it is fake and gay, yeah. But the very, very small percentage that's real, they probably encountered one of these beings that God created, that he has allowed to interact with man for his own purposes. So with this, let's get into deception. You know, I mentioned the hoaxes, the great hoaxes of the last 3 years. COVID, George Floyd, BLM, election, war in Ukraine, all of these are hoaxes. There's going to be another hoax, and it looks like it's going to be a UFO hoax coming up. Now, I don't know if this is the ultimate hoax, but there is going to be an ultimate hoax that comes about that deceives the whole world when the Antichrist takes power. We can read about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And the context here is talking about the man of sin, the Antichrist. We covered this a little bit in the last few weeks. The Antichrist and Antichrist religions. Antichrist meaning, sure, it's against Christ, but he's also a replacement for Christ. He is a substitute for the real Jesus. All right. And so the context of 2 Thessalonians 2 is that eventually when this man of sin is revealed, the Holy Spirit will be removed from the earth. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who restrains evil. And then he'll be taken out of the way. So starting in verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians 2, and when the lawless one will be revealed, and in context, that's talking about the Antichrist, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is in according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So just to analyze here, as we're reading the scripture, the people that are going to be deceived by the Antichrist are going to be those who do not believe. Because Revelation 13, as I pointed out last week, only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life, only the born-again believers, will be able to fight this deception and not be taken in. Verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 2, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Who sends it? Satan? The Antichrist? No, God. These people are reprobates. Romans 1 tier reprobates. You know, the sodomites, the transvestites, all the people that buy into this world system, they've rejected God, so God rejects them. And he allows them. He sends. He doesn't allow. He sends a deception. He sends them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All of these faggots and trannies and Jews who are pushing this crap on us, they rejected God. They have been deceived by God. Therefore, since they rejected him, he rejects them. And then everyone who buys into this crap are unbelievers who God has sent this deception to. And that's why these people will take the mark of the beast and they will be eternally damned. And only the true believers will see through the deception with the power of God, and they will not believe the lie, only because they are reborn again. They've been regenerated. So this upcoming alien deception, I mean, it might be the big one. It might be just another run-of-the-mill deception leading up to the big one. I don't know. But that's what's on the horizon. So with that whole context, and you know, with you understanding what I believe, is that created beings of God, supernatural beings, are interacting with man, and that's who these people are calling aliens. Let's have a little bit of a study on supernatural beings. And I did this study in my Sunday school class. It's quite lengthy, and we may or may not make it to the end, but I'm going to go through as much as I can. And again, if you want to call in and weigh in on this or push back, please feel free to do so. 512-248-8252. So these things are like a military. They have different ranks. They have different positions and different missions. There are fallen beings and there are holy beings. Some of the fallen beings are imprisoned, and some of them are free to roam. The Bible teaches us that these beings interact with mankind on a regular basis, and they can influence the governments of entire nations. They conduct spiritual battles between themselves and against believers. So Ephesians 6:2 mentioned the powers and principalities. Let's go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel speaks of, so Daniel saw a vision, and the angel Gabriel was sent to Daniel in Daniel 10 to give him the answer, the way to decipher this vision. But the angel says that he was held up by the prince of Greece and Persia, by both princes. These are principalities. These are created beings. Maybe they're angels, maybe they're not. But these are beings that fought each other in the spiritual realm. As Gabriel was trying to send this message to Daniel, he was withstood. These things fought against him. And Gabriel says that he received help from Michael, the archangel. So these beings, some holy and some fallen, they fight against each other as they interact with man. This could explain ancient Hindu texts like the Mahabharata that talks about gods fighting in the sky with like lightning and, you know, powers that can destroy humanity. That's probably where they're getting this. They're getting this from these beings that are created by God, and they write these texts. So Daniel 10 points out that certain angels are in charge of certain nations. Daniel's 10 and 12 points this out. There was a supernatural being that was in charge of Persia, and there was a supernatural being that was in charge of Greece. And at the time of the writing of Daniel 10, Daniel was under Persian control. Israel was under Persian control, but Alexander the Great and the Greeks were about to take over the Middle East. So what was about to happen physically, which was the Grecian takeover of Persia, that battle was going on years before that in the spiritual realm, with the supernatural beings representing these nations battling each other, right? Also, the Bible indicates that these supernatural beings have ranks, just like ranks in the military. Satan is the highest ranking, most powerful being. He is a cherub, by the way. The cherubim are the most powerful beings in the Bible. You can find them, a description of them in Ezekiel's chapters 1 and 10. Ezekiel 1 and 10. The cherubim bear the throne of God. When I say bear the throne of God, just imagine like a king being sitting on a throne, and there's four men with a pole like right through rings in the throne, and these four men are carrying the throne around. That's the picture of the cherubim bearing the throne of God. They're the closest to God, therefore they're the highest ranking. Satan is a cherubim. He's a cherub, and he was the anointed cherub that covers Ezekiel 28. He covered the throne of God. He made a canopy with his wings over the throne, because cherubim have four wings. They have four wings, four faces, and eyes all throughout their bodies. So these are very terrible beings in their description. And you can understand if a human being saw one of these things. I mean, hell's bells, that's an alien, right? That's what they're seeing. So let's look at the ranking structure. We can read a very interesting and very short account of Michael and the devil opposing each other in Jude, verse 9. Jude only has one chapter. It's just a book. I'll quote that. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil about the body of Moses, didst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." So in other words, Michael, the most powerful archangel, could not withstand the devil in his own power. He had to rebuke him in the name of the Lord. And I don't know why they were disputing of the body of Moses. I mean, that's all speculation. But the point is, there was a contention there between very powerful supernatural beings, and one outranked the other. Satan outranked Michael, and Michael had to rely on the power of the Lord. I mean, similarly, you know, going back to Ephesians 6, we have to rely on the power of Jesus Christ if we want to withstand these things when they attack us spiritually and even physically. So there's more than just physical defense. There's a spiritual defense going on here, all right? Now, later on in the future to now, Revelation 12, Michael and his angels are given power over Satan to kick him out of heaven. because Satan has access to heaven. Job chapters 1 and 2, we see that. Satan presented himself before the Lord. Revelation 12, 7 through 9, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Repeat, deceiveth the whole world. That's your 2 Thessalonians 2 reference. The deception from God, it was allowed by God, and it was done by Satan. All right? But God sent the deception, but Satan was the instrument. That's all he is. Satan is an instrument of God. He's not some being that God fights with, and sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. No, that's horseshit. Satan is a supernaturally created being that is subject to the Lord God. And we see this in Revelation 19, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth, a lowly angel, a low-ranking, normal private, puts a chain on Satan, a general, and puts him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Why? Because God stripped him of his power and cast him to the earth here in Revelation 12. So Satan is confined to the earth for that time. He only gets away with what God allows him to. Again, if you're rearing up and you're saying, well, why does God do this? Why does he allow Satan? Why is he telling Satan to do this? It's because God does what he does. He is who he is, and you have to deal with it. He is holy, and you are sinful. And the only way you approach him is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Don't get mad at me. Take it up with the Bible. Take it up with God. You can question him about it one day when you stand before him in judgment. Because as I mentioned in the beginning of this show, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. All right? So here are the rankings of these people, these beings. You have cherubim, you have seraphim, and you have regular angels. We covered the cherubim in Ezekiel 1 and 10. They bear the throne of God. They have animal-like features. The particular ones that carry the throne of God have four faces and four wings. They move like lightning in the sky. They appear in one place and then in another simultaneously. It's like they're everywhere at once. They have fire proceeding out from them. And their bodies are covered in eyes. Very, very strange and terrible creatures that are described here. You know, in Psalm 18, verses 6 through 13, Jesus will return to earth riding on a cherub. In Revelation 19, it's described as a white horse. This particular cherub looks like a horse. Again, they have animal-like features. Let's get to the seraphim. These particular beings, there's four of them that are in Revelation 4 and 5. Also, they're in Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 names them as the seraphim. Literally, in Hebrew, it means the burning ones, right? Because they're so shiny and bright and on fire. These things praise God day and night. Wow, we're on the break already. We'll cover the seraphim on the other side of the break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
My heart is old, it holds my memories. My body burns a gem-like flame. Somewhere between the soul and soft machine.
Spiritual health and wellness. We were just dealing with created beings, supernatural beings created by God that do his purposes. Whether they're good or evil, they submit to him and they do his purposes. And we're talking about the seraphim. The seraphim are mentioned in Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4. In Revelation 4, they're called living creatures. And this indicates that they have a physical appearance as well as a spiritual one. And you can compare these two chapters to get the description of these things, but there are four of them, and their job, the entire purpose for their creation, is to praise God day and night, and they don't stop. And they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come. And in Isaiah 6, they say the whole earth is filled with his glory. So these particular beings are seem to be below the cherubim, and the seraphim, their job is to praise God. There's only four that are mentioned. Possibly there's more, we don't know. Under them are the angels. Angel means messenger. So in the Greek, you know, angelos, John the Baptist was called a messenger, but also supernatural beings like Gabriel, who brought the great tidings of the Lord Jesus Christ being born to Mary, and who brought the tidings of John the Baptist being born to Elizabeth. John the Baptist is called a messenger, similarly to how Gabriel was called a messenger. So you have to look at the context to decide whether this is a supernatural being or whether it's a regular person who is a messenger of God. Context is everything. But under the, so you have cherubim, you have seraphim, and then you have angels. And then under the angels, you have unclean spirits, also called demons. All right, unclean spirits and demons. These beings seem to be less powerful than even the angels. They want to occupy men's bodies. The demoniac of Gadarene, when Jesus confronts him, he's possessed with a legion of devils. Devils are also another word for unclean spirits and demons. And they say to the Lord, they know who he is. You know, they call him the Son of God. And they ask him not to send them to the abyss. Now, the abyss is a holding place separate from hell. It's close in the vicinity, in the center of the earth. But it's a holding place for angels, demons, any kind of fallen supernatural creature. Satan is cast into the abyss for 1,000 years. This is a holding place that's separate. And these unclean spirits, in my theory, and my theory is based on a lot of solid research, most likely these unclean spirits are the product of angels and women. So in Genesis 6, you have the sons of God, the angels, mating with the daughters of women, and they produce giants. So we're going to continue this next week on Spiritual Health and Wellness. So please tune in. I'll refine my points and give more biblical backing. Y'all stay classy. Tune in tomorrow night for William and Jerry.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.